We're just finishing this Eastern Division, Purva Vibhag section on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is second class 2009 Kartik, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami is explaining about Srimad Bhagavatam, Panchanga Bhakti. He's mentioned it once in this section of 64 limbs of Sadhana Bhakti. Then he's beginning again to describe in a summary way. He summarizes the points again. So we heard yesterday about deity, serving the deity, Sri Murti Angri Sevana, Priti, Priti Seva, to serve the feet of the deity with devotion or love. And especially Rupa Goswami mentioned the deity of Govindaji, who is his own deity, and the special captivating or enchanting power of Govindaji, that if one by chance sees Govindaji, that he won't want to see anything else in the material world, family, relatives, etc. And we discussed about that. So today is the power of hearing Bhagavatam, Sri Bhagavatam Yata, Bhagavat Shravan. Specifically it says, Bhagavat Artha Swado. It says one should hear the meaning of the Bhagavat and swadu, taste it. Sri Bhagavat Artha Swadu. One should relish the meaning of the Bhagavatam. But one can relish something to the degree to which one is healthy. The analogy is given that the taste of food is proportionate to depends on several conditions. The food is the same, the taste is the same. Sweet, sour, pungent, salty, etc. But our ability, our perception of that taste depends on some factors. One is the how much hungry we are. And secondly, how healthy we are. These two factors primarily. And of course, how well it's prepared. Maybe the same foodstuffs, but if it's prepared by an excellent gourmet cook, that's one factor. And if we're extremely hungry, that's another factor. And if we're very healthy, that's another factor. So this is the some factors. And we take hearing or any transcendental activity, our ability to relish swadho or to taste depends on the same thing, the level of the cook or the giver of the transcendental nectar, who's giving the holy name, who's giving the Harikatha or Bhagavat. What is his level, his realization, his purity, his faith, his own stature, and the depth of his surrender? It's not academic per se, that's not the only qualification of the speaker, academic qualification. There are many professors around the world that are Sanskritists and are extremely learned in even the tattva and Siddhanta and all the aspects of the scripture itself, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. But they're, as Prabhupada often said, what is their character? What is their backing? And they're scholars, they're pundits, they're professors, they're very expert in the art of teaching, they've mastered the art, they're deans of the department, head of the departments. But they aren't living their teaching. They're not walking the talk, as we say. They are the jnanic aspect, but no vigyan. You get some shell, but you don't get any. You get gunpowder, but no bullet. You get sound, but no effect. Lasting effect, or transforming effect. Whereas if the teacher is not only expert in all the externals of the art of teaching, and familiarity with the science that he's distributing, and moreover he's living it and realizing it, then he's a real exponent of truth. He is a conduit. He is a medium of transcendental knowledge. The actual gunpowder, the sound and the form and the penetrating power of the bullet will all be encapsulated in the sound vibrations, so it will have the desired transforming effect. Shastra is meant to transform, not to stimulate the intellect, although that may be also interesting momentarily, but it won't have any transforming effect. And then the second thing is the hearer. This is often discussed throughout the literature, who is speaking, who is hearing. A qualified speaker and a qualified hearer. So the hearer is someone who's like Parikshit Maharaj. What are his qualifications? Well, he was thirsty, extremely thirsty and hungry, not for food or water, which he gave up for 7 days, and not for sleep, which he gave up for 7 days. These are dear pursuits of most people, eating and sleeping and drinking water. They're the basic necessities. But he was quite satisfied, and he had eagerness. He was healthy, and he was eager. He was about to die. He had 7 days. But he was a qualified... He could relish, because he was hungry. As a hungry person can relish food more than someone who's already eaten 3 times that day. He can't relish. And someone who's healthy can relish food more than someone who's sick. Someone may be hungry, and he hasn't eaten, but then if he's sick, he's hungry but sick, then he can't relish. If he has jaundice and you serve him sweets, it's a waste of money, because he can't perceive the taste of sweet because of his disease. This is the analogy. So the Bhagavad is spoken, but if the person is not healthy, healthy means that he's not properly situated in a line of bhakti. He hasn't surrendered to parampara. He's not engaged in the daily service of guru. He's not in sharanagata bhav. And he's not in seva bhav. And he's not in dainya bhav. He's just an observer or a collector. Then he's not really healthy. Because a healthy soul is a soul that's engaged in bhakti. Because this is the actual position, jivara surupaya. This is proper life, and anyone who's not engaged in the service of Krishna is diseased. This is the ridrogam kamam, the disease of independence, disease of sense gratification. He explains one verse he's citing here. Sometimes the verses are composed directly by Rupa Goswami. Could be the case. Shankhe nitasa padidashama skanda padyavalinam Varna karnadvani patikatam anapuravyad bhavadbhi hamho dimba parama shubadhan hanta dharmartha kaman yadgarhanta sukamayam amimoksham api akshipanti. The power of hearing Bhagavatam. He's mentioning this is one of the Panchanga Bhakti, that these five limbs of devotion can give prema. But he wants to specify when he's saying, okay, I'm telling this in Bhagavat Shravan, or Sri Bhagavat Artha Swado. One should relish the meaning of Bhagavatam. That's the principle, that's the axiom. That's the limb of devotion. It's one of the 64 limbs. He mentions it twice. He repeats it in the list for emphasis. And then, moreover, it says, this is one of the Panchanga, five limbs which very directly and quickly brings one to Krishna Prema. This is a special qualifying characteristic of these five. And then he says, this verse which he's quoting, he says, oh idiots! Sounds like something we might say, goofballs, or dingbats. Oh idiots, how unfortunate you are! I think that you must have been hearing all the syllables one by one of the verses of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, because your ears are now denouncing the most auspicious goals of Dharma, Art, and Kam, and even decrying the fourth goal of liberation, which is most blissful. Jiva Goswami, who was directly asked by Rupa to render a commentary on Nectar Devotion, he's telling, this is praise of the Bhagavatam using the device of criticism. This and the previous verse about not seeing Govindaji, because if you see Govindaji, you'll lose all your attachment to society, friendship, and love. This is praise by using criticism. Very interesting technique. It's called aprastuta prashamsa, conveying the subject by something else that is not the subject. This seems to be very interesting. It almost sounds like the modern practice of sarcasm. People often, of course, it's told that sarcasm is the worst form of humor in general, common vernacular or social decorum or behavior. This sounds like that. It's sarcastic. Don't. Hey, listen. Don't go to Vrindavan. Don't go to Keshagat. Don't see Govindaji. It's not a good thing. So don't listen to the Bhagavatam. And he's saying, although he's saying relish, here he's saying, don't relish the tenth. Don't relish the syllables of the tenth canto. This is a very bad thing. Because if you do that, then, oh, my Lord, the whole human society, you become a non-participating member. You actually leave the world of ordinary beings. You go beyond varna and beyond ashram. You're no longer interested in the chatur purusharta. The chatur purusharta means the four desirable goals. And Jiva wants to tell us that the, as in the previous verse, Rupa's intention here is to praise the, as the previous verse was to praise the form of the Lord by saying, forbidding one to see Govinda. It's not the real meaning. Similarly, the real meaning is not contempt for hearing Bhagavatam by saying, oh fools, hamho dimba. Hamho dimba means, oh fools. Because the auspiciousness of Dharma, Artha, and Kam and the happiness achieved through liberation are actually surpassed by the supreme bliss attained by Bhav, induced through the hearing of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Praised by criticism. Very interesting technique. He's praising, you idiot, you fool, you stupid. You've read the Bhagavatam, haven't you? That's why you're exhibiting such extraordinary behavior. You're no longer interested in Dharma or Devata Upasanam. You don't want to worship the Pancha Upasanam, the Devatas. And you're not interested in any kind of Dharma. You're like the gopis. Aryapatam Chahitvam. You don't care about Sri Dharma or Lokik Dharma or any kind of Varna Dharma, Ashram Dharma. And you don't care about desirable objects and position, power, wealth, woman, nadana najana nasundaram. And you don't care about art and calm and happiness of the body or family. And you don't even care about swarga mukti or any higher type of mukti or varna mukti or even vaikuntha mukti. And all you care about, you're just mad after the serving of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. You stupid, you fool. Have you heard the 10th canto? That's what happened to you, huh? So that's what he's saying. You're now in Gopi Bhav. Swajanam, Dustijam, Dustijam Swajanam Aryapatam Jahitvam. You don't care about anything, you become a Gopi now. You're a mad follower of the Gopis, now you're Gopi Bhartupada Kamali or Das Das Anudas. Is that what happened to you? You idiot. And the person says, yes, I'm an idiot. I'm a very bad idiot. Folded hands, thank you. Please bless me to be a better idiot. Maybe more crazy about the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Because unless one is mad, then he can't be a gopi. Unless one is mad, he can't be a Brijbasi. Unless one is mad, he can't be a follower of the golden madman. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, he's Singha Chaitanya, he's mad. He's mad in love of God. It's called Unmata. Prem Unmad. Prem Unmad. Unmata. Uttamada. Uttamada. The topmost pitch and presentation of madness. Utta means top. That's there in someone who's been attracted to the loving service of Radha and Krishna. They become desperate. They become a desperado. In general Spanish terms, desperado means a gunda. Desperado, but if you look in the dictionary, desperado means one who's desperate. The Brijbasis are desperados. They're desperate. They're mad. Krishna drives them all mad. Yashoda becomes mad. You must be mad if your son leaves town for some time and then you stop, you move out of your house and live under the trees. And wear the same sari that you had when he left. And that sari is moistened by the breast milk that was coming out of your breast when you were feeding him one afternoon when he, or the morning before he left with the Kura. So that dress is smelling like the breast milk and Krishna's body when you were holding him in your lap, breastfeeding him on the day Akura took him to Mathura. So that dress will not be changed. Because to change that dress means to lose connection with Krishna. Well, this is madness. Anyone would think. So Krishna makes all the residents of Vrindavan mad. Lord Chaitanya wants us to become madmen. Pagal. Nam Pagal. Everywhere, if you read very scrutinizingly Chaitanya Charitamrita, as Lord Chaitanya was moving through India, he was always, this word was there, that in this Bengali or Sanskrit. And when he came to Benares, Prakashananda Saraswati said, "Why are you acting like a madman?" Everywhere they're saying, you're dancing in the street, you're a madman, you're a pagal, you're mad. He says, "Yes, my guru gave me a mantra to make me mad." What is that mantra? The Hare Krishna mantra. Hearing the Bhagavatam. Now this is verse 2. This is Nectar Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the fifth, one of the fifth limbs of devotion. This is called Krishna Bhakta Sangha. Associating with the devotee. Specifically, Rupa Goswami uses the term Sajatiya Snigda Sri Bhagavat Bhakta Sangha. He says Sajatiya Snigda, to associate with the Bhagavat Bhakta Sangha. To associate with devotee who is the same family, he's in Gaudiya Vaishnava, and he's in the same bhav. He's in the same line of thought. He has the same ideas of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. And he's representing the bhava that you may be most interested in. That would be a specified form of sajati. Then snigda means that he's affectionately inclined to bestow his mercy upon you. Rupa Goswami takes up that topic with this verse. Unfortunately, it doesn't say where these verses are from. They may be his own creations, but generally they're from some Purana. That's not telling. 241. Drig ambo bhir dota pulaka patali mandita tanu skalan antak phalo dhad dhad atipritam vipatam api trisho kaksham yavanamama sapurusha kop yupyayo najane kim tavan matir iha grihe nabiramate nabiramate. The power of association with devotee, with the devotee of Krishna. Ever since I saw a certain person whose body was washed with his own tears, whose hair was standing on end, and who stumbled around with a joyous heart, while quivering to the extreme, my mind has, for some reason, become so attached to the form of Krishna that I have no attachment to family. Jiva is saying that by associating with this personality who is a Bhava Bhakta, Bhavuka and Rasika. Rasika, Bhavuka. He's on the level of Bhava Bhakti and he's relishing the anubhavas of Bhakti Ras. Consequently, when he hears about Krishna or chants his holy name, then these anubhavas, they overtake his body due to the stimulation of his bhav, and then his body expresses these anubhavas of crying, trembling, hair standing in end, romancha kampa ashru taranga bajo. And someone witnesses that and sees that, and it creates such a samskara that they see this person, and they see in this person, they see his bhav creates a vision. They see the display of bhav within this bhava bhakti, and it creates a darshan. They're seeing the person, yes, but they're seeing the person that they're seeing the person that devotee is experiencing. The Bhava Bhakta is experiencing the Namrup, Gun, and Leela of Krishna very profoundly, very clearly, in the form of Spurti or even Sakshat Darshan at the later stages of Bhava. And that internal experience, or in some cases external experience, creates such a transformation in his appearance that when one looks at him and sees the display of his ecstatic symptoms, he sees not only the devotee, but the object of his devotion. He has a perception of Krishna. He sees in the face of the devotee, he sees Krishna. This happens. And there's examples in Gaur Lila where the devotees were seeing Lord Chaitanya, but they were seeing him as Jagannath. And they were seeing Lord Chaitanya and they saw him as Gopal. It's described. They say, wait a minute, I'm seeing you as Gopal. You're blue. And you have peacock feather. And you have Vrindavan, Krishna. And he said, no, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. What are you seeing? I'm Gauranga. I'm Sachi Nanda. And I'm the son of Mother Sachi. But he was absorbed in Radha Bhav. So Gauranga is always searching for and perceiving Krishna everywhere. Hey, see, look. Do you see on the chakra of Jagannath's temple, do you see Gopal standing there? And everyone who was associating with Gauranga on their way from walking from Mayapur to Puri, yes, we see him. They didn't see him. So he was, because he was always himself seeing Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Where are you, Krishna? Such power is there in the darshan of Bhava Bhakta, Premi Bhakta. One sees his heart's Lord. And of course it becomes very graphic and tangible when that Bhava Bhakta establishes a murti, when he actually establishes the Seva Puja of his heart's Lord in a temple. Then everyone can see, oh, this is Radhasham Sundar and Krishna Balaram that came from the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Very beautiful. They're always playing in Prabhupada's heart and being visible there and seen there and served there. So then he took them out of the heart and said, you want to see? So this is the power of association, very, very powerful. So we'll close there, and tomorrow we'll discuss the chanting of the holy name from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.